Welcome to Dial Dork, everyone. This is Dewey the Answer Man, and as you may have guessed, there's no live show this week. So what I decided to do instead was take the 5 or so hours of Nauticon Radio that Dial Dork did at the Nauticon conference a couple weeks ago and mix it down into something I could throw into the podcast stream. So what you're going to hear tonight is an abbreviated, edited version of the 5 hours we did at Nauticon Radio. If you like what you hear, you should by all means go over to nauticonradio.org and download the complete set of files. And, you know, there's about 20 hours of Nauticon Radio out there. It's not just the 5 hours that Dial a Dork did. So there's lots of stuff out there. You can listen to a lot of dorky conversation. So go out there and download it. The background music that you're listening to is by the Andy Johnson Explosion. So you should also go over to andyjohnsonexplosion.com and check out some of their downloads. And, you know, that's it. We'll talk to you next week. See you then.
Welcome to Dial the Dork, everyone. My name is Irv. We are live, large, and in charge here at Nauticon. The Nauticon! Thank you.
That was Froggy Tacular.
That was Froggy.
Tack the planet!
Yeah! You give that yellow shirt.
Thank you, Froggy. That's his first contribution to Dial the Dork in about 9 weeks. I don't know. It's been a long time. It's probably been about 6-7 weeks.
So
that's pretty good.
Tiger prawn.
That's right. Anyway, I am joined tonight by some lovely regular cast members, including Dork Almighty Matt Minar, who is wearing a T-shirt that says, "If it isn't free, you don't want it."
That's random.
We're also joined tonight by Dewey the Answer Man, Drew Ivan, who's wearing a kick-ass Code Warrior shirt from, what, 99, I'm guessing? 95! Holy shit.
That's a throwback.
It's a long-sleeve mock turtleneck with a Code Warrior on the back.
His name's Arnold.
His name is Arnold. We're also joined tonight by Dr. J, the science gay, James Schmidt.
Fabulous.
Yes, he's not actually gay.
I don't need my reporter.
And he's not wearing any shirt at all.
I'm butt naked from the waist up.
He's butt naked. But is that, how can you be butt naked from the waist up? I think is. And of course, I am your MC, Irv. And we are here tonight to, I don't know, give Jason Scott a nice rest and to entertain the masses who have convened here on the shores of Gitche-Gumee. Actually, on the shores of Lake Erie, between East 9th and East 12th on Lakeside Avenue in the beautiful Holiday Inn Lakeside.
They sued Blockbuster.
They just got awarded 2 patents, like, last week, and then the first thing they did is sue the shit out of Blockbuster right afterwards. So they got awarded the 2 patents. One is, like, an online rental thing with a queue and all that shit, and the other one is, like, the whole rent for a monthly fee and keep it as long as you want model. So both of those things they got patents for.
What the hell do you patent? I mean, what the fuck?
Because
it's a business model.
It's a, you can, I guess you patent a business process.
You patent a way for distributing DVDs.
All right, well, I have a feeling that one will probably get thrown out.
I don't think so.
I think Blockbuster is going to have to, I think they're going to settle. I think they're going to settle.
Well,
and I think it'll be a quick money grab for Netflix, and why not?
I guess I don't rent from Blockbuster. I rent from Hollywood Video because they're down the street.
Sure.
You know what I mean? No big deal. But
yeah. What, the one at Cedar Taylor?
Yeah, Taylor. Yeah, exactly. I've never done the Netflix thing. I don't really care.
I'm doing it right now. And for whatever reason, I haven't. I'm doing a Russ right now, which is have discs I don't even like and not return them forever. Right now, I'm sitting at home with Starsky and Hutch and School of Rock and Simpsons Season 3, Disc 2.
Wait a minute, School of Rock's a damn good flick.
Ah, yes. What's that?
School of Rock is awesome. The other one that was interesting, I guess I filed.
Dewey told me to eat a turd, but you couldn't hear it because he didn't speak into the microphone as usual.
The other one was about AT&T, I guess, willfully routed.
Right.
In mass.
But how does this? What does it do with patents?
Digital communications to the NSA.
Yeah.
Without the. Without any due process and without any kind of notice to customers.
Well, now, is that a patent thing or that's just a dickhead thing?
You put like on here too bad there wasn't room like now with one mouse button.
You need to put it's a class action. There's a class action lawsuit against. No, it has nothing to do with patents, but it's a class action lawsuit against AT&T. And the government's getting involved because our good shrub said to AT&T. Dump all this data to the NSA, you know, and they did it.
They're just diverting all this internet traffic right into the NSA.
So that they could,
analyze
and monitor.
That's rather unseemly.
It's clearly unconstitutional. Hello.
Well, I mean, you know, just goes to show you can't trust big business.
Well, you can't trust big business.
There's only two companies you can really, really. There's three companies. Three. You can really, really trust.
Our weapons are.
Yeah, no, I'm saying. No.
Five.
Surprise!
But you can't hear Dr.
No, there's three companies you can trust out there, okay? Microsoft, Exxon, and Monsanto.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Halliburton.
Halliburton,
see,
for sure.
Four, dumbass.
Four companies you can trust.
Four companies.
Exxon, Microsoft, Monsanto, and Halliburton.
And General Mills. Five companies which you
and the Cleveland Clinic.
And don't forget the Cleveland Clinic. Hey, it's Tiger Pants.
Is the proprietor of FARC.com in the house? Is he supposed to show up tonight? Or? His dad? Unbelievable. Well, we have a lot of questions about Foobies.com.
Oh, no, I have a lot of hugs to give him about Foobies.com.
Have you heard, Tiger, have you heard about Foobies.com? Well, he's basically spun off all the boobies and wieners links to Foobies.com. So that they really, there's almost none in the regular FARC thread anymore. FARCACON. Yeah, when is there going to be? Has there ever been a FARCACON? Like just a FARCCON? I know there's FARC parties, but like a nationwide FARCCON?
We've only been doing parties so far. We were actually trying to help him start one, but there's too much overhead and too much going on right now, maybe in about 2 years.
The other one that was reading, which is really
bullshit. Oh my god, no. I read the fucking horrible article written by a woman who was in Playboy. Not
about,
a playmate.
About what he's really into.
Oh yeah, did you see this? It's horrible.
Hugh Hefner does not like the ladies.
Well, he likes them, but he needs. First of all, I think no. Here's the problem. He's 70 something, and he's fucked so many chicks that it's all kind of boring to him now. I don't think so, because in order to have sex, he now uses Viagra. Plus, gay porn. Because it's the only thing, it's like the next, it's the only thing filthy enough for him to get excited about.
It's the only thing he hasn't done.
Presumably. And apparently, when he has sex, it's with several girls, all right? First thing is that whichever girls are going to be involved, they lay out these sets of, like, pajamas, matching pajamas for all of them, and they have to put on these pajamas, and they all have to come in, and then they're all like cheerleading for him. And basically, he just lays there on his back with his Viagra heart on, and just one girl after another. Well, the first girl is his like main girlfriend at the time. Always goes first, and then she'll ride him for a few minutes, and then get off, and then someone else will get on, and then get off, and it goes like this, and then he'll finish up with the main girlfriend by banging her in the ass, coming, and then it's over.
That reminds me of a funny story.
Actually, is there a gag order on this story?
I don't think so. But apparently, if you're not willing to participate in this sort of bizarre ritual where you're basically sitting on his Viagra hard on while he's got gay porn going on TVs and in the wall or whatever. If you're not willing to do it, you might as well kiss your shot at being a playmate goodbye.
No, really, it really makes you wonder. I don't know what about, but it does.
But it makes me wonder why the quality of the playmates is so been so shitty for the last like 3 or 4 years.
I want to show you guys. Most people, there's no reason to own a textured and live in this state.
You're saying the textures don't go over well here in Ohio?
I think he's saying that Ohioans are...
They're too stupid to understand what the shirts mean.
Well, here on the North Coast, there's a slightly higher quality of person. We do have Case. Case does produce a few worthy individuals every year.
Not from Ohio.
Some of them are from... they're from Pittsburgh. Oh, God.
They don't speak English.
Where are you from?
I am 5 minutes away from this town.
Like grew up here and.
I grew up on the east side. Moved here when I was in the fourth grade. I don't remember what.
Where on the east side?
On Ivy. I don't even know exactly.
Ivy. I know where that is.
Okay, so
isn't that like East Cleveland or something?
Some part of Cleveland. I don't really care.
Now where do you live?
I live on 14th Street. I am on downtown Cleveland.
He's in Ohio City.
You live on 14th?
Like Tremont.
East 14th? Oh, you live in... I live in Tremont. I live on Kenilworth.
Okay, so the broadcast I hear from the basement are coming from Kenilworth.
That's right. The corner of Kenilworth and... I live behind Sage Restaurant.
I know where he's at.
We've got another listener.
My God.
He's stealing his Wi-Fi. We always give out
his Wi-Fi. There's no way to give out my Wi-Fi key. My Wi-Fi is totally unsecure.
Yeah, I know.
AP1 cannot access it from outside my driveway. My house is like made of lead. I swear to God.
All the houses in Tremont, it's like pure lead paint and plaster and brick.
The inside of my house is brand new. You ever seen that giant purple house on Fourth Street?
That's yours.
It used to be my house. It got painted. I still live there, but it got painted the same.
Why isn't it your house anymore?
No, it's not my house.
Oh, it is your house.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It used to be that color.
How about the purple house on Literary? You ever seen that one?
Oh, that thing's scary. It hurt
that thing
died.
Recently sold.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I believe.
Yeah, we painted our thing.
Actually, what's your name?
My name is Bob.
Bob.
The Great Jelly Donut, if you go online.
The Great Jelly Donut?
Jelly Donut.
So, I mean, what do you do, Bob?
I'm a computer technician.
We talked about it.
I do freelance for regular people.
You what?
I do computer technician work for just regular people.
Just hold this and talk.
Just hold this giant... This is scary.
Hold the Bob Barker and talk.
I know. I feel like Bob Barker now. They, like, look old.
And you're a computer technician.
Yeah, technician.
Do you work on your own? Do you
work on my own. I work on just regular people. I don't, like, work for a company or anything. I do it myself.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
It's what I do.
You ever get the nice fucked up machines with 800 bits of spyware?
Oh, my record? The record I've ever seen... My best one was over 1,600 items found with Adware.
Oh, I hate you. I only got 800. Like, 50 was my best.
1,650 or something. It was unbelievable. It took 15 minutes just to launch Adware.
I bet about 5 and 6. Like, man, it's a long time.
I mean, it seemed like 15. I don't know if it was.
I'm billing them by the hour, so I'm keeping track.
You know what? It's like I could just shut it down, go into safe mode and do this much quicker, but I probably aren't.
I got the BART PE disk.
Well, it's like, you know, because I'll... what's that?
I got the BART PE disk, and I put Adware on that and boot right from it.
Oh, that's beautiful. What I do is typically just go into safe mode, run Adware, and then Spybot, and, you know, but...
You get the people, they're like, all I do is check my mail. You're looking like their internet cache, German porn site.
Yeah. Well, I had an old boss who was complaining, but this didn't happen to me, this happened to the senior tech at this old job of mine, but our collective boss was complaining that his computer was running slow, and so he made the kid, see, because we worked, I grew up in Maryland, near D.C., and so just north of D.C. in Maryland, and that's where the offices were that we were responsible for, but the main offices where our boss worked was in Herndon, Virginia, which was like an hour drive away down into Virginia. So he made the kid drive all the way down to Virginia to clean up his computer, and it was basically his whole history was like anything with the word anal in it. .com. It was like anal. It was like staranalstar.com, you know, basically. So he's like, very nice, very nice. But yeah, I get a lot of shit.
Those are fun. And I'll be like, all I do is check them out. I don't think so.
Yeah, really.
You're clicking on the buttons, you're getting in your fans.
I literally have been able to feed my family for the last 2 years due to teenagers using their parents' computers. I tell them, don't let them, but then I let them.
I've taken people who are like 60 and 70 computer shopping for their own new computers because they want to like bridge the digital divide.
Exactly.
Which is very cool and all.
That's very cool.
But it's just disturbing that they want to get out of that age because they don't quite know what's out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I actually helped a woman in her 60s select a... Well, she was looking for a solution to her little computer problem, which was she has a computer here in Cleveland, Shaker Heights, but she's also got a little winter holiday place in South Carolina or Florida or whatever. So basically, I told her, why don't you just get a laptop and take that with you when you go down there? And her husband was afraid because he didn't want to learn how to use it. But she took my advice, got the laptop, and she really loves it.
My friend, she's in college right now. She has a notebook. It's been the most abused thing I've ever seen. I swear, she drop-kicked it. I always talk to her, like, you sexually molested your laptop or something? But the keyboard is cut in the middle because she, like, pounds on it.
Holy shit.
With her fist, she's been through 4 hard drives now. Because I had to get her one.
Wow.
She threw a remote at the screen and cracked the screen.
That's a, what a crazy bitch.
She's...
Good for you. Good customer. I used to work with these two guys, and when I was working there, one of their coworkers came in. Her laptop is upside down, and she's holding it. It's open, and it's upside down, and something's dripping out of the keyboard. And I'm like, what is that? And she goes, I'm pretty sure it's Italian salad dressing. And there was, like, lettuce and Italian dressing all up in the shit. She spilled a salad all over her computer. She was smart enough to immediately turn it upside down.
Yeah.
And it turned out was just to replace the keyboard and...
Yeah,
thanks. Oil, not so bad.
Yeah.
Being a preschool educator.
Oh, like, God. Stuff that's in not, the not good.
And you don't want to know what's in the keyboard?
Well, at least it's not jizz, right?
Well, no, but when you have a kid...
We hope.
You have a kid over here? Help me, Mr. Zach. You go over there. Can you start working on the keyboard? What's wrong? I sneezed all over the keyboard.
Oh, no. So how many colds per year do you get?
Actually, I'm building quite the immunity.
I would say so.
After 5 years of being deathly ill and not being able to go to work, and you're starting to come around a little bit. Once in a while, now I'm just a carrier, so I could be...
Right, so you just get everybody else
sick. Dispensing all kinds of stuff.
So everybody share the microphone. Come on, gather around, everyone. What's your name?
I'm Zach.
Zach, nice to meet you. Bob, stick around, man. You don't have to go anywhere.
Hi, Ruffalo.
No, Zach, I'm saying that. You don't have to give up the mic immediately. I'm just saying. I saw him all of a sudden. He didn't have the mic anymore. And he's like, oh, well, maybe I should, you know, walk
I'm really
kind of
scared about this questionable mic.
Yeah.
It's awfully scary.
Well, it hasn't been any dirtier until you touched it, man. Mr. Carrier. Mr. Carrier.
I guess so. You know, suddenly I'm also kind of watching practice stab. I'm like,
oh, awesome. Well, what do you do, Zach?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a preschool teacher for
weeks. Oh, right. That's right. I think I knew that.
But I also co-host with Packet Sniffers.
Packet Sniffers?
Yeah.
So is that a podcast or a...
No, it's a video show.
A video show. A video... what?
Video
tell us about how you distribute said video show.
Well, it's technically... No, we
not smarter, just more successful, I think.
For lack of a better format, we use WMZ or NFC, and okay. You can download the shows, which it's is on a buy-whenever-we-feel-like-it basis.
PacketSniffers.com?
.org.
.org.
Yes. It covers a wide range of things, anywhere from RC cars to servers to whatever the heck we feel like, tasers, you know.
Whatever.
Just whatever. Also, we have a little side project called Kitchen at kitchen.org, K-Y-C-H-N.
K-Y-C-H-N.
Yeah, .org.
K-Y-C-H-N. Okay,
yeah, gotcha. .org. It's a very high-energy
K-Y-Jelly
show.
Okay, Kitchen. Not K-Y...
Unfortunately, none of the recipes include KY jelly. At which point you would.
What is Kitchen? What is Kitchen all about?
It's a very high energy cooking show, much in the same vein as some other very popular tech shows online.
Going off to do your thing now?
No. Yes. Some very tech TV-esque produced.
Nice. And where are you from? The area? Did you come in from out of town?
In Indiana.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so.
Bloomington, Indiana. Is that southern, like northern Indiana or southern?
No, south.
South?
Yeah, it's kind of south of Indianapolis.
South of Indianapolis. South. Is this like almost Kentucky or?
No. It's south central. It's about an hour away from Indiana.
South central.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I come from south.
You come from the streets. You've got the classic look of the street tough. Yeah. I'm just picturing you right now with the thug life tattoo across your midsection.
I do. You know, actually, I got my family name in old English on the back. You know.
That's hot, man. That's great. I like it.
And
I like it a lot.
And my permanent IT range. You know.
I like that. That's good. That would be fat, man. If you had a static IP and you got a tattooed on your arm or something like
actually,
that.
Actually, you're in a band.
Kind of sweet,
right,
man.
The
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, while you're don't at it, you might as well get the UPC. You get a UPC code while you're at it.
Yeah, sure. Get the UPC code of your IP address. That'd be nice. That'd be good.
I'm going to go get some food.
Do that. Dork's got to eat. Anyway, just in case you're not familiar with our show, it's Dial a Dork. Dial-a-dork.com. Right, you saw us last year.
Yes, start listening.
Cool, man. Cool, man. I appreciate it a lot. You know, we have, you know, it's the best, you know, you can, we do it every Wednesday night. We try to do anyway, every Wednesday night, about 8 p.m. or so. We ice cast, right? And then if you don't want to do that, you can just, we got a little RSS feed that lets you know when there's a new show uploaded, what have you. A little blog. So we've now been blogging all the links of all the crap we talk about during the show. That's kind of nice to hear. We're Dial-a-Dork.
Dial-a-dork.com.
What's
your handle?
Our handle?
Yeah.
I don't think we just have like nicknames on the show. He's Dork Almighty. He's Dewey the Answer Man. Dr. J the Science Gay. But he's not gay.
Okay.
He's like got a kid on the way and all kinds
that
of stuff.
Happy,
my name is Irv. I'm just Irv the MC. I don't have a handle. I don't do any IRC. I don't game. I don't really do any of that kind of stuff. I don't have need for a handle. You know.
Well, you know what? I'm just Zach. Unfortunately, before I stopped my current profession, I was limitedly known as the sector molester. Unfortunately, being in the early childhood profession,
you should get rid of the whole molester tag. You know, you should not be
basically. I was the guy.
This is a teacher. See, and he's a high school physics teacher.
Yeah. You know what? Then you know all about it when you go to like a conference. You know, I'm sector molester. I mean,
he had to get rid of his old handle, Cherry Buster. That was rough. All right, whatever. What's your name?
I'm Night Lord.
What? Night Lord. Lord of the night.
Not night as in night, like darkness. Night as in like night, like medieval.
Knight Lord.
I thought it was more like Pat Benatar's, you know, we are the night or whatever it is.
Wait, we are the night?
No, or something like that. Something
no,
like
no,
that.
I think you're thinking of Patty Smythe. There's like, no, because the night belongs to lover.
Because...
Night Lord. Well, you know, that's a very modest, unassuming handle. Yeah. Now, where does your handle come in handy, as it were? Where do you frequent? Spend your time online?
Yeah, that's right.
The Wayback Machine, mostly.
No.
Times a lot of fun.
You play any the online games?
IRC. Pound Infonomicon on chat on free.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Because we're talking about 1972 or 4.
I don't know if that's six cars in 1972, but it's more than...
You don't think so? You don't think cars were like 1995 back then?
I don't know.
Better think about what you're trying to...
They were a dollar a pound.
I think they were heavier than 1995.
Look it up, bitch.
I will, motherfucker. What do I Google? Like, weight, Dodge, Dart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curb weight. And retail price.
Okay. CURB. I'm doing it.
How to type her.
I'm a master pecker.
He's a master.
Never even learned how to write Irv.
I'm a huge pecker. curb weight Dodge Dart. You think it weighed less than a ton?
No, it weighed, probably weighed more than a ton.
3,000 pound.
Yeah, a ton of
it goes coupled with its light 3,000 pound curb weight. Yeah. The Dodge Dart GTS did very well on the street and the track.
Yeah.
And what was the price?
1999 Dodge Dart.
No, 1970 something.
Well, how do I find that?
Google 1972 Dodge Dart price.
Is that what?
Do you know how to use Google?
You people fucking suck.
Yep.
Okay. 1972 retail price Dodge Dart. Well, wait, but I mean, all I see is like used prices and things, or something. Where would I find that?
Who the hell knows?
That's what Google's for. Go find it.
We have a guest by
Googling.
The suggested retail price of $59.94 was nearly twice the regular sticker price.
There you go. So it's the price of two cars.
Well, no, it says twice the regular sticker price. So it was a $3,000 car.
There you go. And how much did it weigh?
3,000 pounds.
For a dollar a pound. Wow.
I welcome my new overlords. Thank you, Dewey. Why I chose to draw my line in the sand against Dewey on cars is beyond me. Really stupid thing to do.
Well, see, I'm currently doing a little side work with a man named Garten. He lives down even further south than I, and he makes custom pull cues.
Nice.
Really?
Yes. Now, very, very nice woodwork.
Okay.
Okay, and especially since pull cues must be straight.
Well, they must be straight, and they have this sort of graduated, you know, yes. It can't be easy.
It's a very nice one. Okay, it takes him, like, several weeks just to make one. Okay.
Wow. Is this a computer-controlled thing he's doing, or is this by hand?
No, he uses a metal lathe to do woodwork.
Does he make it for pros?
But fairly recently got a CNC machine to cut inlays to put into those pull cues.
Sure.
Well, he's not a computer guy.
Right.
I am. He knows me.
So now you're basically helping him design the inlays through the computer.
Yes.
To then, are you overseeing the production of the inlays too then at that point, or do you just kind of put the shit in the computer and then he takes it from there?
Well, most of it is, for simpler things, I can just put it in the computer and he can do that. I mean, some of it's just little details.
Are we talking about, like, pieces that end up have to be bent around the cue, or are they small enough that they don't really...
Well, we haven't gotten that advanced yet, but right out of the box, it said one of the first things he wanted made was a gift for a millionaire friend of his who has a cement business.
Okay.
So he was just imagining something simple. I got a picture of a cement truck.
Mm-hmm.
I traced the outline and shrunk it down, and it's a very cute little cement truck.
Yeah.
He still has the inlays made up for that cube. I'm pissed at him because he hasn't finished it yet.
Yeah. You want to see the finished product?
Yes. I've also, there was a mechanic who apparently has some money. He wanted one made with wrenches in it. Well, he saw that and how nice it was. He wanted something made with the Pontiac logo and GTO the Judge, which if anybody knows, the 60s psychedelic lettering, the Judge logo.
Nice.
No, that was probably the fanciest one I've done so far. But mostly it's we're trying to do simple and elegant.
Wow. Weeks to do one pull cue?
Well, you can't just cut wood down. You have to shave it away so the stresses come out of it.
Yeah, if you go too fast, I would imagine that you start getting cracks and all kinds of shit. And
well, it's not cracking, it's warping.
Warping, fair enough.
Because you got a piece of wood that's several feet long.
Mm-hmm.
He has to cut it down a little bit.
And he doesn't make the kind that, you know, the two-part?
Oh, yeah.
He does those two?
Yes.
Okay. What, but I guess would you make it initially out of one long piece and then cut it later and add the screw piece to it, or?
No, actually, that doesn't work out too well.
Doesn't work out too well. I had a funny feeling it might not.
No, he gets, what is it? maple stock from very.
I was about to ask you, what kind of wood do you know? I mean, I assume that is there like the wood of pool cues, or can you have several options to,
Well, the most common one used is hardwood maple.
Because you can work with it and it'll stand up to it.
Since people like a varying wood grain because it's pleasing to the eye, right. There's curly maple and then there's bird's eye maple. And curly just has waves in it, but bird's eye it has a
lots of little knots and things kind of radiating
almost
out.
Almost like a knot.
Not a knot, but it has like the nice radiating.
Not a knot. No, it's got the regular grain and then it's got a little bit that kind of swirls around and makes like a knot.
Right.
It's a knot.
I understand.
Cut it with the knot jokes.
You cracking some skulls with that flashlight there?
Not yet. It's really, like,
it's really,
pissing me off.
Really pissing you off.
You're like bust out and just like. So like, come Sunday, I'm just gonna be like triggered by like, you didn't recycle that bottle.
Where's your lanyard? That's the world of security,
just
right
wait
there.
Wait until I'm punchy. Like I'm sober now. Wait until I'm like been up for 48 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
So that many batteries, I think you need to upgrade it with a cattle prod attachment.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
That's nice. Cattle prod attachment.
Yep.
That's for the sadist in you.
Exactly.
Not enough to. It's not enough to just beat the living shit out of him with a gigantic flashlight. Just shock the shit out of him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Freibig.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us the... Is it primer or primer? Primer?
It's primer if you want to
say. The briefing.
Give us the Freibig briefing.
Well, still student, which means I'm poor, which means everything I do has to be hack job. which is why I got the ammo box PC over there instead of
the what?
The ammo box PC over there.
I know. Is that thing where the wire's sticking out of it and the webcam and shit?
That's a...
What is that?
That's a...
Okay, ammo box. Okay, now I see.
Yeah.
Is that just a badass case monitor?
Yeah, it's basically... I don't have a laptop because I'm poor. And it's like... So it's like laptop, and excluding Droops' Asterisk box. It's like laptop, two more laptops, and then like this piece of trash ammo box, which is so...
I think it has style, personally. It has a lot of style.
It was fun carrying it in, too, because I get to walk through a hotel carrying an ammo can and a monitor, like an ammo can over here, a monitor over here, and then I got this big old bag on my back full of all the hardware.
So you're basically either, a hacker or a terrorist or both.
Or both.
And you know what? I mean, I like the fact that you brought the hat. And the hat suggests a military application to the ammo box.
Most of the stuff I have with me today is like I have the tac vest over there where I keep on my gear, and I got the military backpack where I keep on my other gear, and then I got the ammo box.
Now, are you the child of a military family? Are you in?
Oh, no, no.
This is something you developed on your own.
I have no. I'm sure you all know about Sean Kennedy.
Who?
Sean Kennedy.
Should we know about Sean Kennedy?
Should know about Sean Kennedy?
The guy who died on the ski slopes?
No, Sean Kennedy's still alive.
Flew the airplane into the ocean?
No.
I don't got it.
Okay.
The guy who
cusses a lot.
Oh, the guy who was talking about? Was it Jason Scott talking about that?
Probably.
The guy who was yelling at his monitor and shit when he's playing video games?
No.
Who the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, there's this Sean Kennedy guy. He has a radio show. Right?
Oh, okay.
And all he does is rant. He's on Rant Radio.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't be advertising for him on you.
No problem. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, he's got this whole thing going on where he's like, oh, you should, the world is crap. So I'm like, okay, I'll be a sheep. I'll follow some Sean Kennedy and I'll do what he says. But anyway, so I've got all the military stuff. I'm actually not, like, interested in the military whatsoever. It's like the closest I have is, let's see, my uncle, who's dead, was, like, in the Navy for, like, a year.
Okay.
And then my great-grandpa was in World War II. That's, like, the closest I got.
So this is sort of a paramilitary. This is like this is like Professor Griff in Public Enemy.
There you go.
Not actual military, but he had the gear and hats and shit.
Like, it's kind of like the military training. I'm all for that. But, like, the military is kind of,
You don't go for that rigid, regimented lifestyle.
Military gear is very useful and durable.
Yeah, there you go.
Indeed. Practical. Indeed. And it's, like, real wash and wear.
Marcus Knoll?
Yeah, whoever Marcus Knoll is, you're fucking dead, man.
All right, so what's your what's your sort of genre? Right? Where do you fit in this whole nerd geek dork hardware. Universe? You know, hardware.
Like I do programming. I do a lot of PHP.
Okay.
Not a lot, but
like LAMP.
What?
LAMP.
Yeah.
This is I just learned this like 2 weeks ago. A LAMP stack.
The hell is that?
Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP.
Or Python, if you
prefer. Or Python. What do you think about that? A LAMP stack, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't. That's like too much for me.
Oh, okay.
No, I do actually know. I know, like...
I have some here.
I was
going to
give it to our...
I have some. This is Drew's... ThinkyThings.org. He's got a blog. How long have you been running your blog? Like
about
five,
3 years.
3 years?
5 to 3 years.
Five to 3 years.
No, three, sir.
Mostly
five,
3 years.
Usually you say like 3 to 5.
I thought it was more. I thought it was a hell of a lot longer, apparently.
Finite. Five to 3 years.
No, that's mean. Wonkette was here last year, wasn't she?
Was she?
I don't know. Somebody was here. Okay, we have these. he designed our logo,
yeah.
Which is these two fists like this.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
You've seen the Donald Dork logo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the girl who designed the he ripped off the fists from somewhere. The girl who designed the fists
original
was here last year. She's like. Those are my hands, you know.
Oh, you mean Jen, who you ripped off the Hope logo?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Classy.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for helping.
Okay.
So what else?
Well, I have an internet TV show, which is one of them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And it's we've only got one episode out, but
actually, what you've done, she's throwing a party. We're all throwing a party up in 522.
So. Excellent. Excellent.
We've only got like one episode. It really sucks, but we're working on more.
Oh no, you've done one show.
Yeah, we've done one show.
What's the name?
Modified, and it's spelled. See, we
M-O. Good.
With a story. Me and my buddy are like. Last summer, we're up late at night, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. We filmed all these segments for this stupid internet TV show, and we're like, what the hell are we going to call this? So we're sitting there thinking up names, thinking up a bunch of acronyms and crap, and then we're like, why don't we, like, since we modify crap, why don't we just say modified? But then I get, like, the brilliant idea to be like, oh, if it's modified, why don't we modify the way you spell it? So I spell it, M0DIPHYD.
Oh, that's
pretty
perfect.
Crazy.
That's perfect.
Crazy.
It's perfect.
Especially with how crazy it is and everything. So anyway, we host We host it on our, actually it's hosted on archive.org because I don't have the money to pay for that.
Archive?
Yeah. And it's,
modified.
We have, our website is PrackDev. It's Practical Development. It's also, it's a tiny little software development thing, which is me and this other guy, we develop crappy little pieces of software that are all in Java, and they're all bootable, so you can, like, put them on a... They're, like, small enough to put on a floppy disk. You can, like, boot them up, and we've got, like, a little chat program. You can chat to your friends, and what's cool is that we needed something that you could use, like, inside, like, a school or an office or something where you can't really install, like, Instant Messenger or crap like that. So we developed this little thing that'll boot off of anything.
He's a high school physics teacher.
It's true.
And I'm sure he's thrilled to know that there's little, cute little bootable chat programs that the kids can use to get around.
I'm well aware of that. Not only that, but they use it to cheat on all of their exams in classes where teachers aren't smart enough to do that. There's the calculus teacher at our school who was complaining about this and announcing it at a staff meeting like she had the fucking inside scoop on it. And everybody who was under 30 was like, yeah. No, really, they text message each other? Really? No, stop. I can't even imagine such a thing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, we host our... we have our... if you go to that website, it's like practev.org, you can get to the internet TV show, just in case anybody would actually
watch
it.
Wait, practev.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't come up with that.
Practev.org?
Yep.
It's practev. Oh, you know what? I forgot the dot.
Not my last.
I thought I typed it, but apparently it didn't. Oh no! Now it added some keyword shit.
I'm gonna scoot over here so I can see what you're seeing on there.
Yeah. You already know what I'm seeing.
Well, I know.
Or did you not do your cross-browser testing?
No,
cross-browser
development.
Practical Development.
See, I didn't design
you
that
went,
logo either.
You went all out on the logo.
Oh, yeah.
I actually didn't
like
that.
Like a crazy bastard.
No, not quite.
I had some sweet crap up there. My buddy's like, that looks retarded. And I'm like, okay, fine. Then you design something. That's what it comes up with. So
here's the modified.
I also call it PDTV.
It's the only thing I have ever seen in black and white.
Well, this looks like a little Java-y kind of a thing here.
That's just a little high frame image, inline frame.
Nice. Download shows, but you said there was only one.
There's only one show, but then...
So then your use of plural is still much misleading.
We've actually got footage sitting on tape.
So you've got, like, plenty of shows in the can. You just haven't put them together. All right, let me ask you this. Tell us a little bit about... You know, some of your little cobbled together things. Tell us some. It doesn't have to be the stuff that's going to be on the show. Tell us some of your cool. Obviously, your ammo box. What's in there, by the way? What's the guts in there?
It's a paint pour. And the reason is now
it's what?
It's a paint pour.
So is that bad?
Well, for me it is because I usually go with AMD.
Okay.
On my computer, I have an AMD 64 bit. Because I'm like, ooh, AMD, awesome. But I figure this thing's going to get pretty fucked up.
So what's your AMD awesome? Is that just because Intel just gets associated with Microsoft somehow? AMD has been making pretty good
AMD
stuff.
Makes, their processor design is a lot.
They're a little ahead of the game.
Yeah, and they came out with the 64-bit before Intel.
Right.
And I just was like, bought one of the first ones that came out, and it was like $300. It was pretty expensive, and I was like, this is kind of a waste of money. But anyway, yeah, I go with that actually.
Okay.
And,
You put a P4 in there.
Yeah, I put a P4 in there because I figure if this thing is fucked up, I don't want like.
Buy nice AMD chips.
Yeah, that I would feel bad about. But so it's just a little Pentium 4, 1.8 gigahertz. It's got like 256 mega RAM or something like that, and it's got a little tiny. I guess it's not super tiny, but by today's standards, a little tiny 12 gig hard drive.
That's pretty tiny.
Yeah.
What size motherboards are there?
It's a micro ATX. And it's
I could just bring it, put it on the table, and be like, "Enjoy, boys."
Sure.
See if you can bring it back to life.
Nice. So I mean, this is a little bit like your like little shuttle type box, something like that. Little shoebox.
Been out of power for so long.
Nice. Nice.
I guess one of the things that this is actually in the first episode of our show. I'm sure you've seen but they have these turntables which you can hook up to a computer and you can actually scratch your MP3s.
Sure.
All right. Well, me and my friend, of course, being poor, we're like, we can't afford this. It's like $200. So we're like, okay, let's build one. So there's this website that we got the idea from, and we basically took a serial mouse. And we busted that up and built a turntable and wired it in with this serial mouse, and we ran a stupid little program on the computer. And like, when you move the mouse back and forth, it scratches.
That's fucking brilliant.
That's brilliant.
That's good.
And of course, ours turned out like really fucked up because we do all this crap really late at night because that's the only really way you can do it. Like, if you're doing this crap in the day, there's something really wrong with you. Like, it's bad enough that you're doing it in the first place.
Sit down, Froggy. You ain't kidding me.
I've been called awesome.
Hey, is this mic on?
Hey, are you feeling Froggy? Jump, motherfucker.
Yo, what is it?
Froggy says jump, you say how high.
Yeah, so what's going on?
We're doing fine. We said that we would only do probably a couple hours, and we're finishing three.
Well, hey, and that's good. Sounds like you're having a good time. Keeping something on the air, at least.
Yeah, well, you know, we feel strongly about giving Jason a break, although apparently he doesn't really take them. He just goes on and does more public appearances.
Yeah, you know, and that's the way it works. That's the way it works. I'm really tired, by the way. I haven't even had a drink yet. That's for tomorrow.
That's not good.
I know. I'm going to work on that.
Can we buy you beer?
I'm on shit.
I just want to say one thing. The guy with the huge flashlight.
Yeah.
He really wants to kick somebody's ass at some point before this thing is over.
Is he in the room right now?
That's why I looked around.
I don't think you mean the guy
with
the...
I'm just letting you know that he really wants to kick somebody's ass.
That's our head of security, so that's the right guy to have.
You were actually talking... Have you met Tom?
I don't know. Have I met Tom yet?
Tom, the metal machinist guy from 90 miles south of here?
I can't say
okay,
I have.
Okay, well, Tom told us that he could pretty much put together a nice cattle prod for the end of his flashlight.
Well, that would be, yeah, I mean, that could be fun in the right context. Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a roll, baby.
Could be a pretty good...
Is that a pizza?
Yes, that is. Cabela's. You've been up there to Dundee, Michigan? Is that the one you go to?
Yeah, they gave me the hat for free when I filled out a card.
It's a hell of a place, isn't it?
What struck
it's huge.
What struck me most about Cabela's was that it was blue lamb wood framing. The entire building is wood. I mean, this is like the size of a pro sports arena.
It's gigantic. It's like 250,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And it's made of wood.
An aquarium.
And it's got a friggin' aquarium and like all the taxidermied animals and the gigantic bears wrestling statue in the fucking parking lot. This thing's like 20, 30 feet tall. It's unbelievable. This place is there's a hotel next to a store and there's nothing around.
Mm-hmm.
That's how big this friggin' store is.
Sounds like the hotel at Freaknik 5. Yeah.
No, what drove me nuts is when I was there, they had these two like mounted. Should I be on a better mic?
You should be on a mic.
Okay. No, when I was.
Could you just go back 5 minutes and repeat everything?
Okay.
Go ahead. Tell us about your Cabela's.
Two mounted like deer heads, you know, deer busts or whatever they're called.
He said mounted.
And the two of them are, you know, they're up on this wall, froggy, looking down over people as they walk around, and they're equipped with motion sensors and motors and some sort of link between them. So what happens is when you guys fall, you walk under one of them. No, it's the mouth starts moving. It says, "Hey, Bill, you want to scare another human?" And the other one looks over and says, "Yeah, that was fun. Oh no, look at him. You made him look at us. I'm shy. You know I'm shy. You know." And the two of them go back and forth. They do this shtick with each other.
Yeah.
They're like looking at each other. They're looking down at the human, you know, on the floor below them. And they do it every 5 minutes or so. They give it a rest for a while for people to wander around and some fresh blood to come in. And then they do it again. But I can only imagine.
Can you
think of how pissed off the clerks must be? It's like the Taco Bell trash cans. Thank you. Please wait while the contact for his side plate.
By the way, if you ever next time you go up there, nearby might be that exit, might be the next one. There's a jerky outlet.
Yes.
In case you're wondering,
jerky outlet rocks. Oh, are we talking about the Dundee Cabela's?
That's what we're talking about.
Oh hell yeah! Hell yeah!
Oh my God, you jerky connoisseurs.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, you go up there and there's 10 flavors of beef jerky, and then there's your turkey jerky and your fish jerky.
Bison jerky.
What?
Venison jerky.
They've got that too. Believe me.
Jerk.
Okay, starts out, I bought this laptop, right, for $1 at a garage sale. It was a little tiny piece of trash. Anyway, I had to use
it. You bought it for $1?
$1. And it's a little tiny one. It's about the size of one of those, it's one of those called those badass laptops.
Toughbooks. They're not all that small. That's one of those little special breed of tiny.
Well, it was about that size.
Okay.
You know,
a micro, ultra tiny.
A sheet of paper is how we say it. And this is an old school laptop. This had Win95, and it was a compact. Anyway, I had no use for it, so we gutted the screen out of it, but kept it connected to the rest of the computer. And we ripped off, like, you know, all the stuff surrounding the screen, and we took out the backlighting. Took out the backlighting.
Okay.
So it's just a raw LCD.
Yeah.
That you have to, like, hold up to a window to see or hold up to a light.
Yeah.
And we acquired an overhead projector.
Ah, perfect. I've heard about
genius.
No, people do this. I've heard about
it. Yeah, we slapped it on the overhead or the overhead projector, and we had ourselves a...
That's how you get projection, like TV, basically.
Yeah, we have ourselves a dollar LCD projector.
That's right.
Genius.
Yeah. Well, where did you get the overhead projector?
We actually filmed this in our school.
Oh, perfect.
And so since we're in a school, you know, there's plenty of overhead projectors. So
lots.
Yeah. Then I just started finding out that, like, there's a lot of people who, like, screw around with hardware and they can mod anything. So, you know, I just sort of got interested in it. And then I started amassing computers, like, in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have...
I was doing that for a while, too.
Last count, it was, like, 33 cases in my room. So I was like,
33 cases.
That's in a dorm room.
So, no, this is a pretty big room.
Fair enough.
And they just line the walls. So I figured, okay, I need to start doing something with these. So I start modding them, and I don't give a shit what happens to them. So I just get off the Dremel and I start cutting holes and like bending sheet metal.
All about the Dremel.
We were talking about the Dremel
a lot tonight, by the way.
Oh yeah, Dremel's great.
We're talking to a guy Tom, who is a machinist.
Yeah.
And so he's actually built his own computer controlled machine, a metal cutting machine using a Dremel.
What?
And it's like on an arm or something, and it can actually execute, you know, computer controlled cuts. Yeah. Yeah, but he says he's outgrown it and he needs something more significant. That's pretty cool though. Anyway, go ahead.
So
you're hacking up these cases.
Yeah, my same friend who does the turntable thing. He was over at my house. We were watching some Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is good stuff.
He loves that shit.
Yar, me likey.
There's an episode where Frylock makes a supercomputer.
Sure.
Called the Oogie McTalk.
Sure.
Which is Klingon for Superior Galactic Intelligence. Anyway, so we're watching that, and we're making this mod, and we're like, okay, we're going to fucking name this computer the Oogie McTalk after Frylock's computer. It's this piece of shit. It's like a Socket 7 computer. It's like really bad.
Like a Pentium 200 or something like that?
Yeah, I forget what the actual speed was, but it wasn't anything
something
aggressive.
In that neighborhood.
It was like
something where they still used the term MMX.
Yeah,
perhaps.
And it was Win 95, and it was like dial-up networking, and I was like, okay! So, we modified that, and we actually used, I don't know what they call those cases, not the ones that stand up, like that one, but like, you know, the ones that lay flat.
Call them lay flatters.
Lay flatters.
I coined that term right here, ladies and gentlemen, that's desktop
form factor or something like that.
Because the first computer I had it's called
the biggest footprint.
But there were a lot of compacts in that form factor.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Space
I call
eater.
It the desktop form factor.
I call it the piece of shit because I hate it and it takes up too much space for me.
I got nothing. Fucking gooey. All
right, so you had what I call the desktop form factor.
The desktop form factor, yeah, and we put a motherboard in there and it was like too big or something. So we ended up having to cut a hole and just like, instead of cutting four sides of a square, we cut three and just bent it so we wouldn't have to waste Dremel disks because those things run down when you're cutting through. Like,
yeah.
So we just bend this up, and then we have this like piece of the motherboard sticking out of the computer, and it's got like, and there's like PCI slots sticking out of the computer.
I love it.
And we're like, okay, this is kind of dangerous. So we have
good news. That's good stuff.
You might be impressed with this, or you might not. But I had to put a piece of 168 pin memory into a motherboard, but for whatever reason, this piece of memory, and I think I know why it fell into my hands, was because whoever produced it, the notches were off by about a 32nd of an inch. You know what I mean? So it wouldn't fucking go in the fucking slot. So I just took an X-Acto knife and I just widened the notches a little bit and I shoved it in there and it worked.
Oh, see, that's good stuff.
The pins lined up, so
That's not a mod. That's technically not a mod.
I wasn't really supposed to do that, but it wasn't for a client or anything.
There you go.
I
wasn't getting paid.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's the extent of okay, so go ahead.
So
you got fucking slots
sticking out of
the thing,
ridiculous. And it's got like PCI slots on there. So we actually plug the video card into this PCI slot that's sticking out
that,
of the top.
See,
of the
that's what I'm saying. It's not a bug. It's a feature.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
It's easily accessible because it doesn't fit inside what we have.
You know what?
Right?
You know what I did? I took an old
it's,
particle
it's what now,
board
do we?
Shelf out
it's
of an IKEA cabinet.
The cooling.
Had,
that's right. It's cool. Tacular.
Test harness thing to like you know to wipe out hard drives or do whatever. And all I did was screwed components into this board
and just
various inside the motherboard, you know, screwed
it.
Low
dairy microphone.
The thing was though, I had a hell of a time getting cards to be stable because they kind of want to
wobble,
kind of want to torque a little bit, you know. And, but it, you know, if you just don't touch it, it's all right.
So yeah, well, here's the best part. It gets to be about 5:36 in the morning. We've been up all night working on the computer, and we're like, oh shit, man, this needs protection because somebody's gonna bump this card, it's gonna pop out. So I run down to the the place where we keep all our it's, we call it the work room. It's just the basement, the place where we throw all our.
I was going to suggest it's the basement. Is that correct?
It's the basement. It's, okay. It's part of our basement where.
Very good.
Yeah, there you go. So we grabbed this like screen molding, like for window screens.
I think sideways.
I'm like, I can bend this pretty easy. So I take this and I take a hacksaw and I cut like two lengths of it and I bend it into like a shape and then I screw it onto this case in a shape which covers the exposed hardware, and then I take plexiglass and I cut it really hacked up, so I want a Dremel and it's got like melted plexiglass all over the fucking place, and then I screw those onto the screen molding which I've bent seriously around this thing, and it's so
created a little bit of structure there,
and it had a little sunroof on it.
Did you use any epoxy in this project?
Oh no, it was all screws.
Oh,
screws and bolts.
Would it take? See, I'm asking him, like, what would it take for him to get into the corporate environment? And he just says money. What would it take for you to leave your employer, which you've been in for a while and been through some tough times?
I could go any time. It's just a question of risk. You know, it's safe to have a job where you can count on the paycheck. Not so safe if you go out on your own and you have to like find gigs.
We have James Schmidt, who was just here a second ago. He's now on the speakerphone on the radio.
I need one of you to stick your head outside and look in the lobby because it's full of high school orchestra people. And it's, I mean, full. Like, I turned the corner to walk out, and I went, oh, my God. And one of the Nauticon guys is like, how far up are you going? I'm like, I'm just trying to get through the fucker. It's
full of what?
What? Yeah, high school? All right, you know what? Dewey's on his way out with his camera. He'll be there momentarily. All right? Just go. Chop, chop. All right, thank you, dude. Well, I don't know. I don't know what that means, but I'm looking for it. He's actually, I don't know. I just... The bag said Canon, but I'm pretty sure he's pulling out his Apple digital camera, like Apple 100 or something, a digital camera. This thing is horrible, but it's really great in that kitschy. He's also got his Newton here. I don't know if you guys saw it. He's working on Apple Newton. They're looking for some infrastructure people. You want a job?
Not really.
See, I don't want one either. I don't want one either.
I do freelance work, and my parents both own their own business. So I help them.
Right.
So I'm pretty well tied up all the time.
Right.
And I want to eventually start my own company so I'll actually be able to do it full time.
Well, you know what? I mean, you already are your own company if you want to be. I mean, you're Bob Inc., you know, if you want to be in file schedule C. And
yeah, but I mean, like, paperwork wise and tax wise, so I can just whatever I want to do, and they're not going
to. You write off fucking everything.
Exactly. That's the whole
point. Fucking everything.
Buy expensive toys for myself. Right, them.
Yeah, I mean, they're for your business.
Yeah.
Clearly. What'd you see out there, Dewey?
It's a lot of kids with
tubas and shit.
I think I was mostly in the string section.
Okay.
A lot of carbon fiber violin cases and
not too many Stradivarii out there. Show him your camera, by the way. I was telling him about the.
Like, I pulled the memory card.
Let me just pull the memory card real quick.
Well, I'm gonna upload it so you can see.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's like, let's pass it around.
There's no flash on that?
They didn't have flash in 1994.
They didn't have flash?
How many cereal box tops did you have to turn into
this? I had to buy a power book. It was free with a power book.
That's kind of fat.
But worth about the power book.
Who are you gentlemen, by the way? Anyone introduce yourselves?
Not really.
Bob, handle the mic there.
How's the Bob work?
Who are you?
I'm just afraid we're going to go back and talk about being corporate bitches.
I'm not saying being...
I am a corporate bitch.
I'm not... I wasn't denigrating, because he's corporate. He's not. I'm not, but I was. It sounds like he never was. I didn't say... I wasn't saying one way or the other. I was merely saying, what would get you to go from one to the other? Okay.
See, I got outsourced.
You got outsourced.
And I was totally stocked, and I thought, well, maybe I'll go to work for you. And I was actually willing to take a 25% pay cut to go do that. Because, you know, working in corporations, it's horrible.
But you, there are certain advantages.
Money.
It's more than money. I mean, there's a security aspect. Other than, of course, the outsourcing. Well, no, but I...
Well, no, no. I didn't mean necessarily, but I mean, like, when you're working there, you never have, you know, when you're independent, unless you've managed to line up some clients who are willing to pay you, like, retainer-type fees, either on an annual or monthly basis, you're...
See,
you can run into a slow month like that, and
that far, but I've thought about it. It's because once, you know, if you're a corporate bitch for so long and you can't conform to that, it kills you. It just eats you up inside. I'm still fighting that today.
I just cannot execute the weekly. Like, I can't do the get up and go and stay and don't leave and go home with the... I can't do the regimented hour thing.
Now, are you a corporate manager?
No. I was. I've been in three or four different...
Now, did you willingly give that up? Did you walk away and say, I'm
going to
go do this?
Well, I was asked to walk away from my last one. Nay, told to walk away. Because they eliminated my position because I stupidly took a promotion. I took a promotion from systems administrator to deployment of their software product, which they weren't selling, which they couldn't sell at the time. So they suddenly said, well, you know what? I bet our deployment people are not necessary. And since I was the lowest of the low in the deployment, whereas before I was second in command and systems administrator, I got axed. So then after that, I had been doing a little moonlighting, and I said, I'm gonna take a shot at this. And I got really fucking lucky that a couple of clients that were happy with my service recommended me to a couple of small business owners who needed essentially 1/4 or 1/5 of a full-time IT employee. And that's kind of the business model. It's like, well, you need me like 2 days a month, and that's it. Pay me, you know, $1,000 a month, and you got 8 hours on site plus unlimited remote and phone support.
So tell me what's good and what's bad about getting out of corporate IT.
Well, what's bad about it is that you are now responsible for all the shit. Like, you got to market yourself. If you don't, I'm lucky because my wife works full time as a structural engineer in an engineering firm, so she has great benefits. If I didn't have those benefits, this would be a whole different story, honestly. So I'm maybe a little lucky. So things like benefits, okay, I got to write myself. Hey, those are nice pictures. I like them.
That's the kids in the lobby.
It's like the kids in the hall, but it's the kids in the lobby. You got to write your own paychecks, and you got to cover your own expenses. You got to do your more complicated taxes, and you got to, et cetera. You got to find your own work. You got to find your own work.
So you're suggesting marry someone that's in the corporate world so that you can freelance on the side.
Well, let me tell you that it certainly fucking helps. But I think that if I were single. I definitely made enough money last year that I could have supported myself, had insurance, all that shit. You know, the thing is, if you're going to be by yourself, you're probably going to have to join some kind of small business association or something to get a better rate on, like, health insurance and crap like that. But then there's all kinds of weird forms you got to fill out. Are you a service provider? Are you selling things?
That's not true. He hates it. He abhors it. Everything should be made of wood.
I love it. I still have my original Commodore 64, all that kind of shit.
Don't you feel better freelancing than being a corporate IT?
Well, look, yes and no. There's another thing that you're not taking into account that has nothing to do with money or security or anything like that. When you're in a corporate IT environment, there can be a great deal of camaraderie that you just can't get when you're by yourself. When you're sitting at home, maybe working on something by remote or whatever, you're by yourself, you got to tell yourself, don't fucking go downstairs and watch TV. You know, don't fucking jerk off the internet porn all fucking day long.
Whoa, buddy. Hold on now. You have those problems at the corporate, too.
Well, you do, but it's a little tough, you know. Look, not only... I mean, look, where I used to work, where he works, I used to, like, take naps and shit in the server room back behind the server racks. I'd fucking lay down on a bunch of network cables and go to sleep.
Behind the racks, there's a whole ass desktop right there. can get a few chairs, lay down, yeah.
You know, but the thing is, you know, I miss all my friends. I miss seeing all my friends every day. I'm by myself. My only friends are my parents. What?
Well,
I tried. Three of the people that I worked with, we decided to form a partnership.
Not what I wanted you to do.
However, I'm the only one doing any work for the partnership because they all still have their fucking full-time jobs.
That's why you should have employed them and not partnered with them.
Well, it would be great to employ them. I made enough money to support myself, not them. I could find them some work because they do write some code, do some things that there's a need for. There's actually a dearth of code writers in this town, and there's a need for it.
Hey, Dewey, remember when there was more than just Irv on Dial-A-Dork?
Yeah. Hardly, I don't know.
You're a dick. All right, but basically, I'm not denigrating. I'm not saying one way or another. There are some people who really, really thrive in the corporate IT environment. They really enjoy the...
I think they enjoy some of the structure. I think they enjoy some of the...
Are
you smoking? No. I think some of them enjoy the fact that they have...
I'm a key grip. Leave me alone.
Oh, okay.
They have access to technology that they wouldn't otherwise be fooling with or playing with.
Plus, too, if you're working in the corporate world, you can see what it lacks in creativeness. Take it home to develop your own stuff and say, well, this is why it's better than the
show. You could.
Than the stuff that's cooking better.
You absolutely could. I mean, really, there's a huge, huge risk component to being on your own. Especially if you hire somebody, you have to make payroll. I mean, think about that. You have to fucking make payroll, and that means you got to go find business. Plus, you could make someone else's payroll. What's going to be left for you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's extremely risky.
After 8 years.
Yeah. Then get out. You can get out. You totally can get. You can absolutely get out.
Oh my God! All the hamsters have escaped.
I know. Are we raising rabbits at this year's Nanacon?
Dear God, the lamb animals have gotten out.
Are these guys doing rabbit net? They're going to exchange packets through rabbit turds.
All
right.
I want to roll with it.
Oh, my goodness, it's Drew Curtis.
Drew, how are you?
Thank God for Fark.
Hey, nice to see you.
Curtis rolled out.
You have your official fan club here. They've been waiting all night.
Yeah, Dial-A-Dork Radio.
Huzzah!
That's where we went and found him last year. We should have looked this year.
Huzzah!
Yeah, I said,
what do you got? Is this? Are you not leaving? Are you?
Oh yeah. Oh. Okay. He's got a cocktail. Put Drew on the microphone.
Yeah,
why wouldn't you?
Drew constantly being interviewed at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually.
Yeah.
We'll buy your drinks while you're on the microphone.
Oh shit! I don't care. I do this all the time.
Yeah. There you go. Well, have a seat then. I mean, you don't have to stand if you don't want to.
You don't have to stay.
Drew, I want to commend you right off the bat of your wonderful spinoff of Foobies.com.
Foobies.
Big fan. Advertisers don't really like it when they
no.
get like that. It's really weird, too, because I was talking to the guys at The Sun, actually, in England. Every time I'm in London, they buy me lunch.
The Page 3
guys.
They Keely. Have the same problem.
Thank him for Keely.
They
for
spun
me,
off Page3.com.
Yeah, well, but they said they can't get, like, Page 3 outdraws The Sun.com
sure.
by, like,
leaps and bounds.
No problem. Can't get any advertisers for it, including from the beer companies. That have nothing but, like, people like that woman dancing around, you know? Like, they don't care about that. They show some nipples. Oh, my God.
What do you think of Keely? Have you seen Keely on Page3.com?
Oh, she's
go to Page3.
She's a specimen.
Go to Page3.com and look up the girl Keely. K-E-E-L-E-Y.
All I know is
off the charts.
All the Page3 chicks are completely smoking hot.
And they're just about all natural.
Oh, yeah.
Keely's the number one. She's the new... She's the Samantha Fox of today.
The new hotness.
Oh, they're all fake.
Just unbelievable. But, you know, I think it's interesting that... I mean, like, are people like Sports by Brooks and stuff, are they advertising on Foobies or what? I mean, what would they have a problem with?
He's advertising on Fark, sort of, in the sense of, like, he's a buddy of mine.
Okay.
So, technically, he's not really advertising.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we've had some people inquire about advertising on FUBUs, but they more want the main page Mark stuff. But we just can't do that anymore because of the stupid ass mainstream advertising.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? But however, splitting it off onto its own separate thing is allowed us to basically, like, you know, quintuple the output.
Well, I've seen FUBUs linked from other pages.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, hey, one of our big sponsors is FUBUs, so that's.
You know what I've noticed has been working recently. This has always been a work in progress, just like Mark has been. Started greenlighting the boobies links that have got the funny tagline. And I'll be damned if that's not working, which is really kind of funny because it made me sit back and think about what was working with Park, and that's it, basically.
Right on.
We don't have anything anybody else doesn't do. But the amusing perspective. And like most of, you know, the stuff you'll see on the boobie sites is like, oh, the hottest sluts on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you and everybody else.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm trying to think of a good example. They were
something, fap.
Yeah. The boobies right now.
I'll do it.
They're absolutely hysterical.
We'll get rid of the modest Yahoo samples thing from Amazon.
I'm ashamed of my total FARC expired last month, and I'm in the middle of coaching.
He'll renew it, I'm sure.
I promise.
Yeah, I don't worry about it.
All right. All right, so sure. Lilia in Amber Waves of Green.
There you go.
That's almost it. I'm talking about the laugh out loud stuff.
Yeah.
Just keep digging. You'll find something. Sure.
Buzz. Carmen Electra wrote the Sibian on Howard Stern this morning. Buzz bugs.
Fantastic.
Good
stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Somebody actually used the term wilf the other day.
Wilf. Oh, I know. I saw that. I saw that.
That's a good tagline.
That is, was that wife?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I gotta believe there's other ilfs out there that just haven't been established.
Yeah,
yet.
They were all in Lord of the Rings, right? Or
close.
Elf, wilf.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, no.
So I'm like looking at it, and I guess I don't really see any ads, do I?
No, there aren't because nobody's picked up any ads. So.
By the way, I was really, really excited to see the Nauticon banner ad on
yeah,
Park.
Actually,
for sure.
Yeah. Actually, Froggy and I go way back.
Oh, we
the first Park Party ever.
Okay, that's what we were trying
the,
to
the one at the Winking
the
Lizard?
Ever,
yeah,
the,
it was the first ever.
And that's outstanding.
It was in June or July 2001 in Cleveland.
I think that's amazing that you guys have kind of, you know, maintained the
yeah.
relationship and you're here
well,
and all that kind of
and
stuff.
When he started getting into mixing, he ended up doing a house party at my house, actually.
In Kentucky?
Yeah, it was beginning of October 2001, like right after that.
Amazing.
Is that in September? So not even that long, yeah.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it was fantastic. Oh, it was a damn good time. There's got to be photo archives somewhere, because we had a webcam up the entire time. It's hysterical. One of the best parties I've ever been to. It was a riot.
And it was your own.
Yeah. The webcam helped, actually, because like when people knew there were like people watching, like,
yeah.
They were always trying to do
They turned it up a notch.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
It made
It's amazing how the camera does that, you know, on these all the reality shows. You know? Not really reality if you put a camera on. By the way, I want to thank you. Last year, I asked you, you know, what's your, like, Fargo? Where do you get your, you know, news? You said Stratfor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Have you been checking them out?
Well, you know what? I just went and kind of just gave them my email address, and about every 2 or 3 weeks I get, like, you know, Indonesia's Gambit or whatever the fuck. Some economist type shit.
While, yeah.
Dude, it's like I get through 6-7 paragraphs, and I'm just like, I'm done.
Your head starts swimming. I'm just going to be like, oh, my God.
Find out who
wins. Yeah, like this last week I got something on, like, the Belarusian pipeline. They're talking about building. Whether or not, you know, like what's going on in Colombia, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Like, how do they know this stuff?
I don't.
It's
wow.
Fantastic.
These guys are—they're like serious wonks.
You
really.
Can count on it being right because, like, these guys don't make money unless they're right. Period.
Right.
This
isn't—they're
right. Not a partisan group.
Right.
They're a political think tank.
Interesting.
Yeah. They want to be right.
And they're like an analysis, you know, for hire or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing. And like, I get the stuff. And like, they sent one about. And then predictably about, you know, Hamas's election win and
right.
What's going to happen and so
yeah.
On and so forth. And I'm Jewish, so I mean, it was interesting, innately interesting to me.
I'm not, and it was interesting to me, too.
I still couldn't get through, like, more than six. I had to just
scroll
to
the
end.
Too, yeah, because they're always like, and then there's this guy who's the
yeah.
Third in charge in the cabinet that you've never
right.
Heard of before.
You know.
And he's involved in this other stuff, blah, blah,
you know,
blah.
Blank, blank,
like,
blank,
oh
owl.
God.
blank, blank.
And, but they got, and the ramifications of this are, et cetera.
Exactly.
You know? So, yeah, they're calling the whole Palestinian situation was is that they think that maybe Hamas might, you know, come to their senses because now they're legitimate.
Right.
That changes everything.
That changes everything.
When you're agitating for change,
right.
You're on one side of the coin.
Right.
Once you're in the driver's seat, all of a sudden certain political realities hit you. And case in point, today I saw a thing that actually came by where there was a spokesman for Hamas that said, you know what, this whole two-state thing
ain't no problem.
Necessarily a bad idea.
Right.
Because it's a political reality.
That's
what are you going to do? Or as the guy that sent the tagline in, Hamas realizes that bulldozers, bombs, and planes don't materialize out of nowhere.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right.
It's a political reality. Let's
very nice. And of course, everyone's pissed. In Palestine, they're like, I can't believe this, you know.
They're going to come around to it. But I understand why this guy's going to like it, though. I mean, the Likud party was completely corrupt. And I don't think anybody liked Hamas a whole lot either. But you know what, though? They got some support.
Now they've actually got, in Israel, they were on the scrapboard thing, they're saying they've got the closest thing to a coalition government, true coalition government in Israel that they've had since for like 50 years or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Something good has to happen.
I like scrapboard's conclusions because they're always usually like, everybody thinks this is bad. It ain't really. It's not phenomenal, but it's much better than people think.
Yeah.
And that would never grab headlines.
That's
like,
right. That's right.
That
you're right. They really do, more often than not, you know, like they kind of give you a little pat on the head. We're like, don't worry, it's going to be okay.
But I don't think it's because that's the way that their worldview works.
No.
Like, for example, they were talking about the Iranian situation.
They have a better perspective than I mean, they have that historical perspective.
Yeah.
They're like, you don't forget how fucking bad it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Like, as bad as this is, it could have been worse.
Right.
But I tell you what, though, they're always optimistic because I saw their latest call on the Iranian situation. Their prediction is Iran will provoke a survival attack.
Iran will provoke a what?
Survivable attack.
Oh, okay.
That's what they think is going to happen.
Wow. Interesting.
That's their current call right now. That's not a very optimistic.
No, that's
really
pretty bad. Yeah,
that's
not
what they're saying right now. Current situation, that's what's going to happen. Okay. By who? You know, well, probably Israel.
That's what I was going to guess.
You know, but that's what they think is going to happen.
You have any kind of, I don't know if you saw, you're familiar with Marcos, I don't know his last name, the Daily Coast guy?
Oh, yeah.
He was on Colbert the other night.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, actually, I watched a video just today.
Well, first of all, any chance you think you might wind up on Daily Show or Colbert
actually,
Report?
The way that he ended up on the Colbert Report was he had a book, and actually we sold a book deal in January.
Nice!
Fantastic.
Congratulations.
Fantastic.
So, it's kind of funny because when I was here last year, I gave a talk on basically like some stuff that I thought I might like to write a book about. And the introduction I gave to it was that I can't convince anybody who wants to publish a book that this is worth writing a book about, including my agent that ended up selling the book. What happened was the guy that we sold the book to said, this is great, not enough meat on it, to where I provided them the outline that I've been working on and said, here you go. And they said, this is it. This is where we want to run.
Nice.
Fantastic.
In fact, I'm giving a talk tomorrow on kind of the initial groundwork that I've been laying as far as writing the book out goes.
Well, do you have any kind of timetable on this thing? I mean, you have anything in the can yet? I mean, anything written yet? Or?
Yeah, actually I do. Yeah, about 20,000 words so far.
Oh,
wow.
Terrific.
That's
terrific.
A lot, but not really. So.
No. How many pages?
20,000 more than Irv ever wrote.
They're gunning for 250. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Honestly, though, it's coming easy to me because I can write for days about stuff like this or Scalia flipping off reporters outside of a
or do
the guy. Yeah, exactly. You know,
like, this just means I don't care.
Material constantly presents itself over and over again. So it's actually pretty damn easy to do.